Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Again, with me today is Stephanie and Craig Rapp. Welcome again.
Thank you.
We're continuing our conversation on marriage and family life, but let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of life and for this day. We ask, O Lord, that we take advantage of all of the grace that you're giving us, that we may respond generously to your call to holiness and to mission. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Craig and Stephanie, I wanted to talk about the topic of crucial conversations. So in family life and in marriage, you know, there are times where we have to, you know, we might call it fraternal correction or paternal and maternal correction, I guess, if it's, you know, parental. But, you know, there ever so often we have to have crucial conversations with our people in our life. And I wanted to start off with kind of how you have these crucial conversations with your children. Now, even before I say that, it seems to me there's a distinction. First, there are some things like a behavioral issue or, you know, like, you know. But then also it seems to me that through the course of life, there are certain conversations that a parent has to have with their child, mm-hmm. too, about topics of substance.
Right.
So let's start with just sort of these little corrective conversations.
Well, I know I mentioned this on another recording, but first and foremost is always the relationship. You have to, like, earn the right to be heard. They need to feel accepted, safe, loved to even breach any of these topics, whether it be correction or just another more difficult topic that you need to teach or instruct or share with them. At that point, once that foundation is laid, then you're able to, and they'll be much more open to receiving whatever it is that you have to say or correct. But as far as correction, I think, like we've touched on before about being primary educators, parents need to embrace that role and really feel empowered. If they're nervous, I mean, obviously we can't always control how we're feeling, but we can control how we react to those feelings. So even if it's nervous or a little scary, depending on what's going on with your kids, or just intimidating to talk or correct, or you're just really not looking forward to this conversation, you could still choose ways to welcome that conversation and let them know that you are here to be there for them in here. I would also say before, whether it be correcting or discussing something difficult, if you are really nervous or not sure how to do it, definitely pray. I mean, there are absolutely times that I'm asking the Holy Spirit for guidance in, like, how to address an issue.
Yeah, and I guess to give a couple of practical tips, I would say change of scenery, setting the atmosphere is really important. So take your child out of the environment where the bad thing happened. Take them to the next room. Take them away from their peers or their brothers and sisters to really show them that this is important, right? You're separating them out from the herd so you can have a conversation with them. You're dedicating your, you know, very little time to spend some time and have a conversation. And I think when you actually think about what you're saying, I think it's important to put yourself in their shoes a little bit and say, you know, what caused this reaction and what would I need to hear in order to change my behavior and feel better?
Yeah, the importance of dialogue, that it's not just I'm going to talk at you, but inviting them to be part of the conversation, mm-hmm. I think is really important. And also with any of these things, your state of mind as you're going into it, both of them, you know, if you or your spouse or your kids are extremely stressed, had a bad day, very emotionally charged, that's probably not the best time to engage in this topic. Or if you can't wait, trying to use some coping skills and some things to calm yourself down before having a more heated or difficult conversation would be very important.
So it could be delayed, like in a conversation with your children, it could be delayed to the next day.
I would think so, depending on the topic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And depending on the age of the child, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, some kids aren't going to remember day to day, but yeah, I think 3 and onward, that'd be totally acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And there have definitely been times with our kids that because of a fit or a temper tantrum, that a reasonable conversation is not going to happen, or like a teaching moment in that. So it's more teaching them how to calm down, and then later on being like, let's talk about what happened before, and then you're going to go a lot further at that point.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is Craig and Stephanie Rapp. To kind of shift to the other leg, you know, Stephanie is the Marriage and Family Life Director for the Diocese of Columbus. So we've talked in a sense about family life and these crucial conversations with children. But I wondered about crucial conversations with each other as a couple, how that goes.
So we talk about this a lot, this topic a lot, and I think it's obviously something that's really important to a marriage. I think you first have to recognize that crucial conversations are important in a marriage, that you have to set aside time for them, that it's not something that can happen, you know, as you're passing in the night and going to take care of a different kid. It's got to be set aside time. And we typically, you know, whether it's a conflict or whether it's, we're arguing, or whether it's like, no, we need to talk about something really serious, we kind of come up with rules for engagement. So how are we going to have this conversation?
You know, do we
Yeah, but even so, like with non-conflict conversations, it's like we're going to set undivided time. We're going to talk for at least a half an hour, or we're just going to talk about this one issue. We're not going to talk about other things. So I think we have crucial conversations by really setting aside structured time within our day.
And that general availability is what it sounds like. Do you guys have like a regular time of the week that this is when we can have these?
Well, I'd say we daily, I think, is really important. Not that it's always crucial, like not that it's always a really big topic, but daily time for your marriage. And then that just creates a space anyway if one of you had something to bring up. So we do, like, after, for us, because we have kids, after the kids are in bed, like, we do have a set time that we know that we're going to come together and focus on just the two of us. If a conversation, a crucial one, needs to happen, it could, or it could just be we're just asking about our day and it's just spending time together. But then weekly we do try to check in and have a little more of an in-depth how are things going? And again, it might not be that something is something really serious, but really just asking each other, like, how'd your week go? How did you feel really loved this week? What can I be working on better as your spouse? You know, and checking in with each other marriage-wise, which could lead and open doors to lead to if there's something that does need to be talked about as well that maybe is a little bit more serious. So I agree that just being available to each other and knowing that you could trust each other to bring up when something is bothering you, or if there is an argument or someone's feelings are hurt, knowing that there's time dedicated to that so you know it can be brought up, and then being able to trust the other person to, like, receive that.
You know, generally in marriage preparation, the theory is that a couple should talk about every potential question or issue that they may face in, you know, for the rest of their lives. Of course, Stephanie's shaking her head at me, so maybe I got the wrong theory of of marriage. I mean, that's not obviously that's not possible.
Yes, and that's what I mean. I think a lot of people think that we have to, you will go into marriage prepared if you talk about everything before. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you want to have big discussions. You want to talk about your expectations for marriage, and at least here we do. We try to be very specific and strategic about what is brought up because we do have limited time. But the idea that you're going, you know what life's going to throw at you, it's just not realistic.
Even in your, I mean, and I presume since you were the, since you are the marriage and family life director, that you were like one of the most prepared couples for marriage ever.
We had a 1 year, we dated for a year, we were engaged for a year. And that year, you know, they say the engagement was a year of discernment. I mean, I think it was in preparation, right? And so it was very much like we had set books that we read every night that, you know, taught you about marriage. And as much as we prepared, which I would say was significant, there's still issues that are going to be unresolved. And I think, you know, especially once kids are introduced, I don't think anyone really understands how they're going to be as a parent and how they're going to react to that new relationship in their life and how it's going to impact your existing relationship with your spouse. I mean, I think to your point, Father, you can agree very much at a high level on the big issues going into marriage. Like, you know, yeah, we're never going to hit our kids, or we're never going to, you know, do X, Y, or Z. But it's very difficult to get any further than that.
What are, if this is not overly personal, what are some of the issues that you never foresaw that you would need to talk about, that you've had, you know, you've had the need to talk about since you've been married?
I mean, I wouldn't say that there was any, like, watershed issues, right, if that makes sense, but it was more career change. Like, for me, it's been, I've had a lot of career changes, usually positive ones, but so I shifted from, you know, going from the government sector. Like, I left. I went to law school with this pie-in-the-sky idea of really just serving the community and giving back, and then I did that for a number of years, and then we started having kids. And my focus and my priority shifted to providing for my family. And so that was a huge shift in our life. I mean, Steph has been able to kind of remain in that service-oriented role, but I've had to shift my mindset from, you know, service to the greater good necessarily to more service for my nuclear family. And that was really difficult, and we had several crucial conversations around that. I mean, I think we had almost 2 weeks straight of conversations around what that looks like for our family and how that changes our lives. And so that one, I don't think we predicted.
Well, it's a little bit also how we talked about in another recording about prayer and or teaching the kids the faith by, like, having a conversation about it versus, like, living it out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of with marriage, too, we could have talked about what our life was going to look like, but until, or even how we're going to manage conflict or how we're going to communicate or the love styles and the love languages and all that stuff, and you could talk about it, which is great, and do that. But until you're living it out, like, things change. Like, just life happens, and you're constantly growing. So I guess maybe that I maybe didn't realize before we were married is that I probably had the idea that, oh, we've talked about it, done, where it's every day. Mm-hmm. You know, you're constantly changing and evolving, and hopefully in a positive way, and hopefully to become more holy. But as life happens, you have to have similar conversations over and over again. It's a journey, and you're on it together.
Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for Craig and Stephanie, for their marriage and for their family. We ask that you continue to bless them and bless their family through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until next time, peace and all good.